Retirees Union and the president of the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. Tonight I'm joined by...
Hi, I'm Dr. Audrey Terrell. I am retired international executive out of Detroit for the United Auto Workers. I'm also the vice president of the Coalition of Black Trade Union and president and CEO of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute.
Tonight, our guest is Lamar Weiss, a political coordinator with Oregon AFSCME, which is the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees, who is currently working on a special project, the 2020 Census. Brother Weiss, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So tell our listeners a little bit about yourself before we get started on the 2020.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Lamar Weiss. I use he, him, his pronouns. I'm a political coordinator for AFSCME. So that means I handle a lot of the politics. Whether that be lobbying work and legislative action, along with working with candidates and ballot measures. At times I also get assigned special projects such as the 2020 Census. And so I'm happy to be here and talk a little bit more about that. But I was able to meet a lot of awesome folks within our union that really want to make a change. It's been a wild ride so far, but happy to be here.
Oh, great. So it's my understanding you guys just had a training for the 2020 Census this weekend. Is that correct?
Yeah. So there was a Black Summit census training that the Portland African American Leadership Forum put on, actually not too far away from here. And so, there was almost 100 folks that attended. The food was awesome. And not only that, we were able to talk a lot about what it means for our communities, especially within the Black community, for us to be counted. There's been a lot of movement in the Black community due to gentrification in Portland. We need to be able to tell that story. We need to be able to accurately depict what has been done to us.
Sure.
And on top of that, make sure that the federal government has the information that they need in order to give us the resources that we need.
Okay.
Right?
All right. So I get the impression that this is not... The census is not just geared for one organization to get involved. Who else are you working with?
Yeah, we're working with a number of other folks. So AFSCME is working with our Oregon and a few other labor unions, but there's actually a larger We Count Oregon table that that includes folks like CAUSA Oregon, PACOON. There's also Latino Network is a part of that. Community Alliance of Tenants. Mm-hmm. I actually serve on the board there as well, so I get to see the ins and outs of their operation as well and how they're contributing to making sure that hard to count folks are actually being counted. We're also working with groups like Unite Oregon. Unite Oregon's has also been pretty crucial. And a lot of us are actually doing work both kind of like in the Portland area and also Washington County.
Okay.
It's been really interesting to learn more about, where all the hard to count folks are, right? And the different hard to count categories that exist.
Uh-huh.
Of folks. And so, we all team up together to ensure that that everyone's is able to understand what the census is.
Sure.
That we are training census ambassadors, right? So that's actually also a lot of what we did. Mm-hmm. at the Black Summit is we were able to actually like train census ambassadors that are able to know more about the census, help organize mm-hmm. around it as well. And to spread the word around, like, the $13 billion of funding that is on the table for Oregon,
right,
if we do our jobs right, right? And you know, having possibly getting another congressional seat to bolster our political power as well nationally. And so that's just the tip of the iceberg. But yeah, all of these groups are coming together to do those census summits,
mm-hmm,
at this point, and then starting to plan out, you know, the field work that would need to happen to make sure that we are reaching out to the folks on the ground.
So before getting involved in this, what did you know about the census process?
Yeah, so I actually didn't know a whole lot about it, right? so, you know, the last census was 2010, and actually a few things have changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest change is that we can now take the census online.
Okay.
Right? So that's gonna be a game changer in terms of accessibility of the census. And so part of the training has been making sure that folks know about that and actually know what the steps are to complete your census online.
Uh-huh.
And so that's been an eye opener for me. But also, what's been an eye opener is how much messaging has to go into ensuring that folks feel comfortable taking the census.
Sure.
Right. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, you know, a lot of the reason why we have had to come together and really focus on the census in the first place is because of the fear in the communities,
mm-hmm,
around the government having, you know, different types of information, and just like that distrust that exists. And so the amount of work behind the scenes that is going on currently, like even as we speak, to make sure that we are prepping our own ambassadors, right, of all different communities well,
mm-hmm,
it's fascinating. And so...
So what exactly is an ambassador?
Yeah. So a census ambassador is essentially a person who has been able to go through a variety of different trainings, mm-hmm, right? So there's a pretty robust Census 101 training that exists that covers the basics of the census, right? Goes over the timeline, it goes over the history. We actually have created our own training in Oregon,
mm-hmm,
that also highlights Oregon's racist history, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how that's contributed to the census. on top of that, you know, where we've come in terms of the information that we've collected and just helps to build context as to like why this is really important. And then on top of that, there is like a train the trainer's training, like that is the ambassador training.
Mm-hmm.
That training is more so around it digs deeper into, okay, like how are you as an ambassador going to plug in and help with reaching the goals of the state,
mm-hmm,
right? So like that's when we discuss tactics and in field plans and how, you know, different communities or different organizations may be doing the outreach, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know, just speaking for AFSCME, we have a two-pronged plan where we are meeting with our locals that serve hard-to-count communities and ensuring that they have a plan to reach out and make sure that that the folks that we're serving are being counted. And then we also have an internal plan to make sure that the members of AFSCME are taking the census and they're aware when it comes out.
Mm-hmm. I just want to add that I wear several hats, and one of those hats is a minister. And I was listening to you how you've made outreach. And so in your attempt to do outreach, I certainly encourage to go to the faith community, because
right,
you have a more mature voting conscientious group. And then it's also structured. Most churches are structured with people who do various things within the church, in the faith-based organization. So, and that, and then also be inclusive, because I also sit on the committee of the interfaith. They meet every other, I don't know if you've been there, I don't recall seeing you there. But anyway, every other Friday at 9 o'clock at the police station on Killingsworth, it's the interfaith. That means all faith. It doesn't matter what faith, Jewish, Muslim, or whatever. And you, there's a representative there. And when you talk about the importance of, because you were talking about in, as far as an ambassador and what you, like train the trainer and stuff like that, the importance of it. So we will take it back to our faith-based communities. Mm. And then I probably invite one of you over to come and talk to us on a Sunday morning or whenever they meet, to especially the importance of being part of the census, as you said. And also there's another one called the Community Faith Collaborative. I'm sorry, the Community Public Collaborative. That also meets at 10 o'clock on Fridays. You might want, it's a lot of people from various organizations that sit in there, because you told me who you outreach, just in case there's some you've missed.
Right.
You know, right now it's extremely important that we touch all we can, spread it out. I am also part of a youth. I deal with the Black student unions in high schools, and a few, even also when they get out of high school, which is important that they be knowledgeable of the importance of the census, so they can encourage their parents to fill this out, which is online, right?
And their grandparents.
And their grandparents. And they can show them how to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm a granny myself, and I need help sometime with that computer. But youth at home can be such a vital importance to the census information, because I think you can fill it out at home on the computer. Am I correct?
Yeah. And to be clear, there will still be the paper version. You can also take the census over the phone, right? There, mm-hmm. there will be multiple ways that mm-hmm. folks could do this. yeah, and that just, you know, expands the way that having it be online just expands the way that we're able to reach out mm-hmm. to folks. And knowing that there's been a lot of questions around data security, we've had direct conversations with, you know, the U.S. Census Bureau mm-hmm. to make sure that the data is secure, and that, you know, and the steps that they have taken preemptively to ensure that that at every step in the process that the data is secure, whether you take it online or over the phone, or of course through the paper when it comes in your mail.
Again, I'm trying to reiterate the use of students. I'm mm-hmm. not only talking about college, I'm talking about them high school students. The importance, because they get on their parents about doing it, or they can go with their knowledgeable self of the computer, go on and be able to do it. So I'm sensitive to students, how, and they're very, very smart at 16 and 17. I wish I was that smart at that age. But how to be a, let that be a resource also for you. You can reach out to the youth community in some way.
Right.
To make sure. And also give them the positiveness, I think, because part of the census, it don't require to give a lot of information that they, the police get the information on that, I'm sure, because I've heard the presentation before. But there's, it's so important right now that we get this, we fill out this census. So every avenue that's available to us, using youth, using the faith community, and again, I reiterate, you or someone from your attend those meetings at, you can pick either Friday at 9 yep. o'clock or 10 o'clock. It may have been somebody there before. I know I haven't seen you there, and I go to every Friday. But you keep pushing this. And when is the deadline for us to having this in? Do you recall?
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk about the timelines for the census a little bit. So at this point in time, a lot of the organizations that are doing this, they're, you know, going to be staffing up, right? So is the Census Bureau, right? We're all going to be staffing up. The census will start to come out a little bit before during March, before the census day. So census day is April 1st.
Okay.
Okay. So that is...
what does that mean, census day?
Yeah, so that is the day that we are hoping that everyone is able to fill out their census, and there's going to be a lot of promotion.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a lot of events and folks on the ground. And then after census day, we will do an evaluation of where we're at, right?
Okay.
And in terms of how many folks have taken it versus have not. And then that's when we'll have a more aggressive field plan. And folks need to take, actually be done and have taken their census by the end of July, because we have to send all of the data back to the U.S. Census Bureau by the beginning of August. And then from there, they'll start to crunch the data so that they can give it back to the states, and we can start to talk about redistricting, which okay. is going to oh, be yeah. really okay. huge.
So mm-hmm. I'd like to take the time to remind our listeners that they are listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists segment of Labor Radio, highlighting the works of the working class, by the working class, and for the working class, here on KBOO 90.7 FM, where the heart of the community comes alive 7 days a week. Our guest tonight is Lamar Weiss, who is a political coordinator with Oregon AFSCME, which is the American Federation of State, County, Municipal Employees. And tonight we're talking about the census 2020 that's coming up. So Lamar, you talked about April 1st being the census day. So from April 1st until July, then do you go back into the neighborhoods to make sure who filled it out and to check to see if they need some assistance?
Yeah. and quite honestly, that's where the heavy lifting will happen, especially for the hard to count communities, mm-hmm. right? So like folks in rural areas, folks who are low income, people of color, immigrants, mm-hmm. people who don't, English may not be their first language.
Sure.
That's when we really dig in deep. Also the houseless population. That's when we will start to deploy the various tactics that these organizations have already started to plan to make sure that we get rid of the, what we call the undercount, right? Mm-hmm. Because the reason why those communities are called hard to count is because we may know that the number of those communities is higher than what actually gets reported. And
sure.
So to address that undercount, we are deploying a new set of tactics, which is making sure that the census is culturally responsive. And that's
gotcha.
Why, the organizations that I talked about earlier, like Pacoon or, and CAUSA and
gotcha.
Community Alliance of Tenants, that's why they're so involved, is because we know that the best organizing that happens is folks who are the most impacted reaching out
mm-hmm.
to each other, right?
Okay. Right.
And so that's the plan, and that's it's no different from labor organizing or student organizing, right? We're deploying those same tactics here on the census as well.
So how do you go about impressing the importance of filling out the census with the hard to count, who are oftentimes are dealing with daily survival issues? How do you get them to understand what the impact is?
Right. I'm glad you asked that question, because at the end of the day, the folks who are most impacted are the folks that receive the services that would come as a result of an accurate count of the census.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, earlier I said, Oregon, we have $13 billion, billion with a B, mm-hmm. $13 billion on the line. Those services are, are for affordable housing, education. That tells us how much money should go into our, food assistance programs,
mm-hmm.
right? Healthcare. And so the folks who are on the edge of survival, who are on the brink of losing their homes, or who are, their kids may attend a school that has had a lack of funding for the past 10 years,
mm-hmm.
this is actually the critical moment to turn that around.
Okay.
And to actually make sure that that the folks who are making decisions around where the money goes,
sure,
that they're getting that those resources are coming back to our communities, because at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And when we are talking to folks and actually giving them that context, that's what we're hoping gets through, is that they see themselves in the resources. And honestly, it's also just like reminding folks that, you know, we're all worth it. We all pay in, you know, to the system in one way or another,
right?
And we are all worth making sure mm-hmm. that we are being taken care of,
right?
At the end of the day, and we, you know, we deserve to be happy, just, you know, just like everybody else. And so that's the basis of, you know, of why so much effort and, you know, the coordinated fundraising efforts as well as the coordinated field efforts has gone on to make sure that we do have more culturally specific materials and mm-hmm. efforts to reach out.
If a person wanted to participate in canvassing, how would that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so there's a couple ways that can happen, right? And so actually there's a lot of paid opportunities right now mm-hmm. to have folks be a part of a census team. Both the organizations that are part of the We Count community, that actually a couple of hiring events have already happened, and they will continue to happen throughout the month of March. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for a job, you know, there actually might be an opportunity. Mm-hmm. But as things start to heat up, there will also be canvassing operations, and not actually, just to be clear, not every organization will go door to door, right? Because mm-hmm. some organizations will be focused on, for example, like the houseless population, right? Mm-hmm. So it'll look different, right?
Sure.
Just depending on, you know, who you're with, but after all of the hiring events have happened, there will be, you know, more volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. I think there still actually might be a summit or two that's left, and the summits that have been going on this past month, for, you know, the month of February, the ambassadors that have been trained will also be, you know, our frontline volunteers as well. And so there will be other opportunities also to be census spokes people, mm-hmm. right? To go into to use an example that you said earlier, we could go into, you know, faith communities, we could go into schools and libraries, and events, right, to let folks know, because sometimes that's just, you know, that's just the best way to reach out, mm-hmm. Is to be where the people are, right?
Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, get them in mass.
Also, so this is some of these positions, if not all, have paying positions. What's your age limit for these?
There is no age limit.
Excuse me.
Hey.
I will tell my youth.
I don't think there's an age limit. You know, it'll be like a normal job, right? It's
So you can be like 17, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah, and you know, and these positions are paying over $15 an hour as well.
Okay.
So that, you know, the equity aspect in terms of labor and making sure that people are being paid well, like, that's something that we actually worked really hard. Folks worked really hard to do. And so, you know, you'll see positions $17 or $18 an hour be popping up here and there as well.
So what other projects are you working on other than the census?
Oh boy. Yeah, so many. But something that I have a few things that are pretty close to my heart mm-hmm. right now that I'm working on outside of the census. One of those things is a organization that I co-founded with a lot of other amazing folks called Washington County Ignite. Mm-hmm. Right now it's just a political action committee. We're hoping to also become a 501c4 nonprofit.
Okay.
but essentially this organization was created, conversations had started, I think September of last year. But everyone that we talked to was like, you know, man, we really need to do something out in Washington County. Like the organizing capacity is low. The demographics of Washington County have continued to change, right? There are more people of color moving out there. And what we have noticed is that the elected leadership at times doesn't reflect the community, the
right.
growing, Black, Indigenous, and other folks of color. Like, so with that being said, we start to get folks together, especially like organizations that do a lot of work in Washington County.
Okay.
And we created this PAC in order to help have deeper roots in Washington County and have folks actually have an opportunity and a chance to get trained,
sure.
right, on how to be on a board or how to mm-hmm. run and win political office. Get some money, right? Because
okay.
we know that that's a real barrier. Mm-hmm. I know there are a lot of advocates that are working on campaign finance reform,
right?
But it ain't here yet.
Yeah.
So until
hardly.
That, hardly, yeah. And so you can get some PAC money, and then also get connected with organizations that are also doing an endorsement process, and
okay.
so. And so it's a regional one-stop shop
right.
for people of color, for young people, for queer and trans people to be able to, if they have good ideas, if they share our values of putting the community first, then we'll take them through our program.
Okay.
We'll make sure that they get endorsements and that they have a fighting chance to
okay.
be in office.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Wow. We are almost out of time. And so
fast.
What I'd like to do is invite you to come back again.
Yeah.
After the census day. And
absolutely.
I understand that you're going to be running kind of fast. That's why I'm putting my bid in now.
Yes, yes, please. I would love to come
okay.
back.
Sister Audrey.
Yes, I'd like to know how to get in contact with you. You
yeah.
are a young African-American male, and I work with a lot of young African Americans, and
yeah.
they would be impressed with you. So, can I get it? I got to do the announcement. So, give me a real quick contact information for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my email is lwise at
OregonAFSCME.org. Oregon.org. Okay. At this time, I'm to give the announcement. I want to remind the listeners they are listening to the Coalition of Black Trade Union segment of Labor Radio. Let me see. We have our monthly meeting. The Coalition of Black Trade Unions will be held on the second Tuesday of every month. Our meeting this month is on March the 10th, 2020. We meet at 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employee William Bill Lucy Building, located at 6025 East Burnside here in Portland. And our email address is orcbtu10@gmail.com. We would love for us to hear from you. So join us in our involving adventure of representing Black union workers. And as president of the Dr. Audrey Terrell Institute, I quickly want to announce that we're having a college tour at the University of Oregon on March the 14th, 2020. We're going to go up there and stay all day with the Black Student Union of the University of Oregon. That will be March the 14th. Also, you can give me you can contact me at AudreyTerrell@AOL.com. If you want to go, let me know. I'll be more than happy to hook up with you, and we can go and learn about how to get into a college, and also how the University of Oregon college tour. We'll learn a lot more about what happens up at UVO. Secondly, the event is. There's another event of the DATI Presents the Scholarship Awards Luncheon. We have it every year. This is our fifth year, preparing to make a difference now and in the future. Our keynote speaker will be the Honorable Faye Wathers. She's a Civil Rights Director at the Office of Attorney General here in Oregon. It's May the 2nd, 2020, at 12 noon at Park Rose Middle School. And again, you can contact me at AudreyTerrell@AOL.com, 313-510-9968. Contact me and watch your newspaper and Facebook and everything else. So that's on May the 2nd.
Okay. It is the witching hour. We got to get out of here because we have another group coming in. And thank you very much, Brother Weiss. We look forward to seeing you again. And holla.
Just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up. It's Labor Radio.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel?
Good evening and welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma Lugo and I am a co-host here at Prison Pipeline. Tonight we have on a very special guest. We have two very special guests on. We have Paul Wright from the Human Rights Defense Center. And Paul's going to be speaking with us about COVID-19 and the U.S. prison system. We're going to be talking about infectious disease control and the spread of the spread of COVID-19 within the prison system and what we can do to like fight it and prevent it. And we've also got on Fury Young. Fury Young is with Die Jim Crow, which is a music label dedicated to incarcerated